Thank you for joining us today on the Reach Community Church podcast. We hope this week's message encourages and blesses you as we dive into God's Word together. Our mission at Reach is to see lives changed by Christ together in community by loving God, loving people, and reaching our world. We'd love to have you join us next Sunday. You can learn more about our mission at reachcommunitychurch.com.
Good morning. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2, and then verses 6 and 7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. Jesus is the fulfillment of this promise. He is the light who breaks into our darkness. He is the hope who does not disappoint. Today, we light the first candle of Advent, the candle of hope. Advent is a season of waiting, of longing, of looking forward. God's people have always waited in hope, trusting that God keeps his promises. In a world full of uncertainty, Advent reminds us that our hope is not an idea, it is a person, and his name is Jesus. We light this candle that our hope is in Christ alone, the one who has come, the one who is with us, and the one who will come again.
Good morning, everyone. Today, we start Advent, which I checked. We have not done Advent at Reach since 2017. So if you're unfamiliar with Advent, or maybe you're very familiar with it, because you actually, if you're over a certain age, you're probably very familiar with Advent. If you're under a certain age, you're like, there's candles, and they're pretty, and they're different colors. We'll explain those as we get into this, but the one thing that we need to know is that Advent is preparation for us. Advent is where we hopefully recenter our hearts on why we're here doing what we're doing. And I know everybody, well, 'tis the season, it is Christmas, and it's Christ, and all of this stuff, but it is so easy for Christ to take a back seat to everything else. And our hope over this Advent season, and we will do all 4 weeks leading up to the 21st, and then actually the white candle is the Christ candle. We'll do that on our Christmas Eve service that we are having here. Candlelight service, 6 p.m. on the 24th. And so today, my title is Jesus. In Jesus, we have a living hope. That's today's theme, is hope. Hopefully, as we're looking towards Christ, it is the reminder that there is hope for us. There are a lot of things competing for our attention during this Christmas season. I'm sure your inbox, your text messages, and everything else is blown up with all the amazing deals that you can have right now. And I know there's a tension between Black Friday and Cyber Monday, which will have the best deal for me. And there's this tension of like, if I buy it, if you bought it already, Monday, remorse, maybe. There's this tension. My son was like, which day should I? I don't know. I don't have the wisdom for you. But I will give you this wisdom. Whatever it is will not give you what you're looking for. Whatever it is will not give the person that you're purchasing it for what they need. So for the next 4 Sundays and 1 Christmas Eve service, they're meant to slow us down, to help us remember what is truly important. Through the birth of Jesus, we are given access to hope, love, joy, and peace. And this week, we begin with peace. So what is hope? It's always nice to look up Webster's. Anybody still have one of those around the house? You're like, yeah, I do. It's in my phone. Webster's. This is what Webster says when you ask for a definition of hope. It defines it as a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. A feeling, oh, it will happen. But the biblical definition for hope goes a little bit deeper. Hope is confident expectation. It is not wishful thinking. It's trust in God who keeps His promises, which is what we're going to talk about today. Romans 8, 24 and 25 says this, "For in this hope we are saved. We wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemptions of our bodies. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees?" It's not hope because you have it. It's there. I don't have to hope for this, you know, phone that I have here in front of me because it's right there, but hoping for something that's unseen. And for us, Christ is unseen physically. We don't get to see Him in person, but we hope for what His promise is. And this is what we come every day, pointing ourselves back to the hope that is in Christ. But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience, which is what this season of Advent is about, us waiting eagerly, not only to remember what He's done, but to also remember that He returns. That our hope isn't just for what happened in the past, our hope is for what He is going to do in the future. But there's a tension that we face during this season. Is the same struggles that follows us all year long. It's not just now, it's just amplified because it's the holidays. The holidays have this way. It should be amplifying our affections towards the Father, towards the Son, but it amplifies everything else. It brings out some of the worst things on or in people, which I am grateful that Black Friday is turned away from what it was. I mean, I'm grateful that we don't open our newspaper on Saturday morning for people that got stampeded to death for a new TV or for something else. We hope for something else. We have this tension that's with us. We are in the habit of putting our hope in other things. For those that have been around long enough to hear this already, I will tell it to those who not heard the Sega Genesis story. When I was about... I'm going to date myself for those that are too young. They're like, what is the Sega Genesis? Google it. Sonic the Hedgehog. But I was looking forward to this machine, and I got it. I got it. I opened it, and I enjoyed it. And the games didn't play like they hook you now into this game that never ends, that you can play online, and it never ends. One thing after the other. Back in the day, you could only go as far as you could save, and it got boring, and you got tired of it, and you put it down. And what happened to that Sega Genesis? It did stay in my closet for years, years and years, but it is now lost to some landfill. And most of Christmas, you know, you may get the greatest gift you've ever received this Christmas, or you may be remembering one, but most likely it isn't in your possession anymore, unless it's a piece of jewelry that your husband or wife gave you and you're still wearing it. But most likely all of those things have gone away. We never say it that loud in our hearts, but our hearts often drift there to this hope and desire and to something. Advent recenters us. It reminds us that true hope is not found in circumstances or accomplishments or holiday expectations. It is found in Christ alone. Let's pray. Father, we more than ever need to be recentered. Our world is getting bigger but smaller every day. And our brains and our eyes and our minds are bombarded with things, advertisements, ideas every day long on this little box that we carry around with us. And so, Lord, would you help silence all that noise that's out in our world and help refocus us today. So as we look at hope, as we look at a promise fulfilled in Christ, let us be reminded that you are a promise keeper, and let us put our hope in that. Lord, speak today to us. We love you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 700 years before the birth of Jesus, and if you never deep dived into this, if your faith is, you know, on the baby level, in a sense that you're unaware of all the evidence that we have and all the cool things that are out there, one thing that you can deep dive in, and I'm just going to talk about one of them, is there is all of these prophetic words that were given about the Christ, about Jesus. And all these promises that he fulfilled, tons of them. I don't know if you've ever heard this. This is when I don't write stuff in my notes and I have stuff in my brain. I'm going to say something that's probably wrong. There's a lot of them. And he fulfilled all of them. Because the promise was made by the Father, and the Son fulfilled all those things. Because, you know, when you know the future, when you are sovereign, you can speak a truth and have the confident expectation that that truth comes to be. And Jesus fulfilled those. And here in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, it says, "Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel," which means God with us. That's the promise being made. And a lot of people, for hundreds of years, God was silent during this period of time before Christ came. There was hundreds of years that there was no words from the Father. There was no, like, prophets that were coming on the scene. It was just, all they had was the promises. All they had was the hope that He would fulfill the things that He said. And the hard part is, once it's been hundreds of years, I mean, sometimes we can go 30 minutes and be like, it's too late. It's all over. I mean, can you imagine waiting 100 years and still having this promise, still being hopeful that God will make it be? But He made this promise. And the one good thing about a promise that was made before is it leads us to this moment in history. And here's a truth for us, and it's in your little notes if you have them. There is no resurrection without a birth. There's no cross without the baby Jesus entering into the scene. There is nothing to be hoped for until He entered in. And as we celebrate His coming, we're also pointing towards the cross, which is kind of, you know, you may think, oh, boy, look, the cross is our hope. No one stands righteous before the Father without the cross. And if you're looking to stand before the Father on any merit that you have, any good thing that you've done, and it doesn't solely land on the work accomplished on the cross, you've missed something. At Christmas, we celebrate something far more significant than a sentimental holiday or a peaceful scene in a manger. We celebrate the moment hope entered the world in flesh and blood. Before there could be a cross, an empty tomb, or a risen Savior, there had to be a baby born in Bethlehem. The birth of Jesus is the beginning of God's rescue mission. The manger is the doorway that leads to the cross. And the cross is the road that leads to an empty tomb, which we're grateful for. There is no hope. Paul later says that, you know, if there is no resurrection of the dead, we are to be pitied amongst all. If there is no Christ or Christ crucified and Christ resurrected, then we should be pitied, because we're just telling you things like every other modern religion that tells you things without pointing to the proof behind those things. The cross is the central thing that we place our hope in. And the one thing that continues to point people to Jesus. And if you didn't know this, little hidden fact, we call this year 2025 because of one person. Our calendars, everything was changed because of the entry of this one person into our world. Nothing has infected our world. That sounds bad, but I'm going to go with it. Infected our world more than Christ. And what happens with our world is our world takes the truth and it turns it. I'm not going to throw shade too much on Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny, but It's just a quarter turn. Probably had some good intentions, Saint Nick. But we miss the, if we just are celebrating this jolly man that brings gifts, we miss Jesus. We don't want to do that. In other words, Advent isn't just preparation for Christmas. It's preparation for the entire gospel story. The hope we cling to today with God stepping into our world and announcing that He has not left us on our own. And the moment began with a message to a young girl in a small town, and the promise being fulfilled. I love this story. Every year, I'm baffled by something that we take for granted. And I'm going to give you a little bit of the reality of what's going on. We're going to jump to Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26, and we're going to go through 33. This is where Mary finds out that she's going to be a participant in a story that we celebrate. Not necessarily by choice. She didn't sign up for this. She didn't enter into a contest and won this. The great and glorious, like, I get to be the mother of Christ. She was chosen. Chosen for something that wasn't easy, that wasn't peaceful, that was chaotic in its fulfillment. And you're like, how? Try being an unwed mother. And I know it's not as big a deal in today's age that it was in the days of Jesus, but try being an unwed young mother that's engaged to someone else that comes up pregnant. Try telling, and we're going to get into this in a second. Try this, kids. Say, it was the Lord. I'm just going to tell you, if my children tell me that they got someone pregnant or became pregnant by the Lord, I am not going to believe them. I'm gonna say it. Anybody else be like, yes, no. Okay, this is the story that we're getting into. So the 26th verse. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin. Remember the one promise 700 years prior to this, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." And it's going to get here in a second, but like, we think in our day and age that like, if an angel appeared to us, we'd be like, this is so cool. No, every encounter with an angel is terror, terrifying. You are on your face. Not only because of the presence of this being, but it is intimidating. We're like, we'd be like, oh, where's the camera that's projecting this thing here? No. But he comes and he says, "Greeting, O favored one, the Lord is with you." Remember, hundreds of years of silence. Hundreds of years. And all of the years prior to this, they were given to prophets and priests, not to young, unwed females. And so she's probably like, what is going on? And she says that. But she was greatly troubled at the saying. What does this mean? And tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And what did the angel say to her? And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid." Why? Because it is terribly intimidating when an angelic being stands before you. Terrifying. But he comes with this greeting. But he says, "Don't be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." This is the promise. But that promise comes with a lot of waiting in between its fulfillment. And the angel didn't clue her in of all the things that were going to happen. Don't worry, Joseph's going to have a conversation in a dream with an angel, and he's not going to stone you. He's not going to reject you. He's not going to divorce you. Don't worry about your family. We got you. He didn't break down all the things that were going to happen and it's going to be okay. He just said this, that God would be with you, that you would conceive the son. And she had to bank on that reality all by herself. I've said this multiple times. I've been like, angel, can you come to my parents and my fiance, and can you tell them this story? He didn't do any of that. And the cool part of this story, if you're familiar with the conversation that already happened with her cousin Elizabeth's husband, is that he questioned the angel that they were going to have a child, and the angel silenced him for the whole pregnancy. Wouldn't let him speak. And she, in her innocence, was like, how would this be? Because I'm a virgin. She understood that babies don't just come out of nowhere. This was the first time. There was no immaculate conception before this. She wasn't like, oh man, I know what's getting ready to happen. She was just faithful. And she said something amazing to this angel that I've always loved. It continued on in the text, but she said, let it be so to me, all that you've said. I mean, could you imagine having the faith, and this is what Christianity is, because she didn't understand how everything was going to play out. When you say yes to Jesus and you say, I surrender and I'm yours, you give God a blank check with your life and you don't know how it's going to be written or how it's going to play out. You just have to trust that God is sovereign enough to lead you where He desires. And that's what this young girl did. She just said, let it be so. And she could have done anything. But she just faithfully expected God to do what He promised. She hoped that what she was carrying within her was exactly what God said through the angel Gabriel. And it changed her life. It changed our life. And her life wasn't easy. And I think we need to understand that. If you're following Jesus and your expectation is that God is going to make everything simple and easy to you, read your Bible more closely, because I don't think there's any character in it that had it easy and comfortable. I don't think there wasn't anyone that didn't have some season where it was pure hell to get through. But they trusted in the promises of God, just like this young girl did. And really, as we go into the season, this is what God, I think, would love to speak to you today, is that faith takes some hope that God is the promise keeper. Faith is understanding that God's moving you towards something that you need, not just something you want. Our life is filled with wants. And let me just be completely honest to you. I'm a remorse buyer. So Black Friday, I didn't buy anything. I don't think. Oh, we did get a Blackstone grill. About the lie in front of the church. We did buy something. And it'll be great, but it won't fix my life. It won't make me happy. It made great pancakes yesterday. But those things, like I'm a person that's waiting for something to be that fulfillment. And I think all of us can look at ourselves and go, man, there's something more that I'm missing. And every time that more is Jesus. Every time that longing that you have inside of you for something better, something that lasts longer, is always going to be pointing you back to Jesus. So here's a couple things that I think hope can do for us. Think about this for a second. If God keeps His promise, then we can trust Him with the rest of His promises. If He keeps this promise, then we can trust Him with the rest of His promises. But remember, that promise doesn't mean that it's going to become fulfilled immediately. There's always a period of waiting, which is what we're in. As we're approaching the birth of Christ, there's always this promise, one being made and its fulfillment, but there's always a middle that we have to live through. So here is just a few of those promises to get our wheels turning. It's not exhaustive. There's more that you could put on here, but the first one is there's hope for help. We are invited to come to Him and confidently ask for help. Are you needy? Like, I'm kind of needy and whiny. And I have no problem asking God. Usually it's towards the end of the tension, not at the beginning. I want to be a beginning tension person that comes to God. It's usually in the middle or towards the end where I'm like, God, I need you. But here's the invitation out of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. It tells us, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. We draw near not because of our efforts, because of our good works. We don't get to approach the throne because I was a good boy and I volunteered plenty at Reach and I give money in that little basket and in a little bit I'm gonna take communion. And all of those things don't give me access to the Father. It's the Son. And the reason why I get to, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace is not because of me. It's not because of my works. To be completely honest, if we would look inside ourselves, we would realize that there's not much good other than when we're deceiving ourselves. We just drive around for a little bit. And maybe y'all are good drivers. You never get stressed out. You never get bothered by those other bad drivers, which sometimes they're me. And I just want to ask forgiveness from anybody that I've ever sped by or cut off unintentionally. I'm trying to be a good driver because I think about you guys. I think about the reality that they're going to see me. You're going to drive by, even though my windows are a little tinted, so maybe you won't see me, and go, daggone, Pastor, the bad driver. So we have hope for help that we can with confidence draw near to God to ask for help. And my encouragement to you today is don't be like me and wait to the middle or the end when you're in desperation mode, but begin to ask at the beginning, God, a need. And maybe it's leading into this holiday season where in Christmas, maybe you missed out on Thanksgiving, but Christmas you're going to be around family members that drive you crazy, or maybe family members that need Jesus and you want the confidence to speak. And so I would begin to pray now, help me say the things that I need to say with the grace that I need to say it in. The other thing is He gives us hope to overcome. Anybody in here struggling with something that you feel like you cannot overcome, whatever that is? It may be addiction. It may be some attitude, some anger that you just, man, I don't know why I get so frustrated. I don't know why this happens to me again and again. And you're like, man, I can never overcome this. Things that leave one feeling powerless and hopeless come in many forms. With Christ's strength, you can overcome great obstacles, and faith in Jesus gives hope and help to overcome. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 says this, "For everyone who is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." Not our strength, not our power, not our ability, but our faith that He is who He says He is. And He literally says, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of us. That's a power source that we get tapped into. Also says that He that's in us is greater than he that's in the world. Romans 8 says that, you know, if God is for us, who could be against us? Could you imagine living in the reality that whatever's coming against you, it's not you that has to battle it? I love movies that, you know, there's good versus evil, and there's some strong, you know, knight or army guy or whatever that overcomes. And many of us look to those and be like, I'm not that guy. I can't overcome. I can't fight and win this battle. And the truth of it is, this hope that we have of overcoming is not us. Another verse in Romans 8 says that, no, in all these things we're more than conquerors through Him who loves us. Not my strength, not my power, but His ability helps us to be people that can overcome. Here's another hope we have, hope for power. Sometimes in life we find ourselves with tasks that simply look too big for us. Anybody there? Anybody in life got things that are overwhelming with the tasks that lay before you? With Christ's strength, sorry, reading the wrong one, we do not have just a need, we do not just need a cup of God's strength added to our own. Rather, we need His strength in us to do what we need to do. He will give it. 2 Corinthians, verse 12, chapter 12, verse 9. Love this one also. Here's Paul. Paul, who, with all intents and purposes, was the man. Sometimes he preached too long and people fell asleep and fell out of the window and died, but he rose them from the dead. Here's this guy who healed people, who saw the miraculous power of God. Here's the guy who didn't sign up for this, just like Mary. He didn't go, hey, look, I'm looking to be on Team Jesus. He was trying to destroy the early church, and God knocked him off his horse and said, you will be my servant. And even while he was his servant, probably being more faithful than anyone in this room will ever think about being, willing to give his life for the mission, for the message. He had some ailment, something going wrong with him, and he prayed three times. Spitting. He prayed three times that this thorn would be removed from his side. Could you imagine being the guy who's seen miraculous healing after miraculous healing, and when you have a need and you ask the Father, He doesn't do it. Feel familiar for anybody? They're like, but I've prayed, God, take this from me. Maybe you have something going on right now that you would love God just to wipe away. And listen to these words. And they're not words of judgment. They're not words of hatred. They're not words of frustration. Like, Paul, if you'd have done all the right things, this wouldn't be happening to you. None of that. And this is what the Father says to Paul. My grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Does that sound fun? It does if you're weak right now with the reality that it's not going to come from you. It's going to come from Him. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weakness. He could have taken that and been frustrated at God. God, I'm never serving for you again. You never give me what I want. All I do is give, 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 and you don't give me anything. Paul doesn't do that. He said, then I will boast all the more in my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And maybe this morning you're like, I need that same power from God. And let me just tell you, it isn't going to come because you beg for it. It's going to come. If we take this text, it's going to come when you acknowledge your inability and you trust in His power over yours and say, God, I don't know how it's going to work because the thing that Paul wanted didn't come. And God said, hey, I'm going to use this weakness and I'm going to bring power from it. And Paul said, if it means you're good, use me. So power isn't like, hey, here's the five things that you do and you get God's power. Read your Bible. Be like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Pray. Yeah, yeah. Give. And this is a fake list for those that are taking notes, okay? So don't write them down and be like, God promised power. Pastor said it. Volunteer. Like, and you fill these things out. They don't come from our manipulating God. They come from our surrendering to God. And surrender sometimes can be manipulation too, because you're like, well, I'll surrender for a few minutes, for a few moments, for a few hours, for a few days. Mary and Paul surrendered their entire life. Some of it was miserable. Paul, I believe, was stoned to death, drug out of the city, and his disciples prayed over him, rose him back to the dead, and he went back into that same city to preach again. Mary was very well known to be an unwed mother. It was known about this, and I'm sure even if it got out that it was the seed of the Lord, everybody's like, sure it is. And she had to deal with that until the end of her life. And then she had to watch as her son, the promise that God made, because she didn't understand completely either, she had to watch as he died. A horrible death right in front of her eyes. Could you imagine watching your child suffer and die? I'm sure she's like, God, you promised. You promised that you would give him your throne forever, because she, like a lot of other people, had eyes just on the now. But she saw it. She got to see his resurrection. She got to see what God was doing, what God was planning. She got to see the fulfillment. But in the middle of it, it was not nice. It was not easy. It was not comfortable. And here's the last one. Again, you can go on and on, but his last one for us today is we get hope for eternity. When we put our faith and hope in Jesus, it not only gives us help and the ability to overcome and power where we walk today, but it also gives us hope for life after death. It is a confident expectation of the ultimate tomorrow. And let me just tell you, for those who are going to get your theology out of movies, Eternity, which is a movie that's currently out right now, has very bad theology. Anyway, or you've never heard of it, don't go look it up. We don't get to walk into eternity without the hope that Jesus promises us. But this is a promise that we get from Him, that those who trust and believe in Him, we get eternal life. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 and 12, it says, "And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life. And His life is in His Son. And whoever has His Son has life. And whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life." And here's the truth, whether people like it or not. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. It should give us a confidence for those who believe as Jesus, as our Lord and Savior, but it also should give us an urgency for those who don't. It's why we love conversations that are kingdom focused. It's why we want to take advantage of this season and talk about Jesus. Easter and Christmas give us an opportunity. Maybe not an easy opportunity, but it gives us an opportunity to talk about our hope that is in us for a future. The God of hope sent His Son to be our Savior. He is the only one. He is only one prayer away. If you want the confident expectation of His strength and wisdom in your today, and His help and hope for tomorrow, you need only to ask. I forgot to bring one of my communion cups. If you've never done communion with us before, I'm going to answer some questions for you so it won't be too confusing. One, if you're new to Reach, there are some churches that are like, you have to be blah, blah, blah to, you know, take communion. Here's our rule at Reach. Actually, here's the rule of the Bible, but it's also our rule of Reach. Communion is available and offered to any who call on Jesus as Lord and Savior. And if you've not called on Him as Lord and Savior, you can fix that before you take this and walk into what we're going to talk about. So whether you're new here or not, whether you're a member or not, whether it's your first Sunday or your eighth year or 13th year with Reach, communion is for His sons and daughters. And these are representations of what we're talking about, our hope. Our hope is in not these things, but what they represent. Our hope for eternity is wrapped in these. Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, his disciples didn't fully understand what was going on, but he established communion. And he took the bread first and he broke it and he passed it around. He said, "This is my body that's been broken for you." And I'm sure they were looking at him and going, "What are you talking about?" Even though he told them where he was going, even though he told them what was going to happen, they still didn't understand. And then at the end of the meal, he poured out the wine and he passed it around. He said, "This is my blood that's been shed for you, the new covenant," which we've talked about over the last couple of weeks, "for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And today, your invitation is to be reminded of the hope that you have in Jesus. If you're struggling with the reality that you still aren't the perfect person that you think you should be, here's the hope for that. Christ came and died knowing that we were sinners. At the right moment, he entered into our history so that we could know him fully. And he did this so that we could remember. I'm going to invite our worship team back up. And let me give you another recommendation. Is we're going to have a song that we're going to close in. And there's kind of this expectation when people start singing up here that you need to stand up and you need to sing. And I want to give you permission today to sit for as long as you need. And prepare yourself to receive this. Paul says, gives a pretty strict warning to not just enter in. And so if there's something that you're struggling with, something that's going on inside of you that you feel unworthy to take this, then remedy that with a confession. Remedy that with like, "Lord, I need you." And every one of us in here needs this thing right here. We need a reminder that you are not your own Savior. You cannot overcome the things that are coming your way that you can't beat right now. But he can. And our hope today is that Christ will do something new in us this morning. And so you don't have to stand up for this. Normally have you stand up, and I forgot. First service, you've missed the blessing, I think, 2 weeks in a row. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But I'm going to bless you, and then I'm going to pray for us. And then when you're ready, take communion. And then when you're done with that, worship. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Father, we struggle with the reality that we place our hope in things that don't deliver. And this morning we want to recenter through communion on where our hope comes from, where our help comes from, where our power comes from, where our ability to overcome comes from, and where our opportunity for eternity comes from. And so, Lord, would you meet us where we're at? For those in this room that are struggling with some sin issue but are children of God, Lord, let us come to the throne of grace with confidence to receive mercy. And Lord, I pray for those in this room that maybe feel far from grace, maybe feel like, "Man, God wouldn't do any of these things for me." Lord, I pray that you would show them right now your grace. Lord, I pray that you would surprise them with the reality of your approaching grace. And I pray that right now you would give them an opportunity to cry out for help for you, cry out for salvation, cry out for a new beginning. And so, Lord, would you meet us this morning as we receive communion? We love you, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on the Reach Community Church podcast. We'd love to have you join us next Sunday. You can learn more about our mission at reachcommunitychurch.com.